In honor to God for his goodness and for his work among us, let's stand as the casket is carried in. Let's bow in prayer. O God and our Father, today we have tears in our eyes, but as your people, there is peace in our hearts. Father, we have tears because of the pain that has come because of this loss, but peace because we know that you take good care of your children. Our Father, in times such as this, we recognize our limited ability to understand. But anew we have seen the importance of trust. We trust you today. We pray, God, that this service would bring honor to your name, even as our pain is being intertwined with your peace. Lord, may today we see the value that you have placed on life, on human life, even life that is not born into this world. Grant your grace especially to Duane and Loretta today. And bless us all, we pray, in the name of Jesus, your Son, whom you gave to die for us. Amen. You may be seated. We welcome you this afternoon to this memorial service for Aoife Hope Yoder, daughter of Duane and Loretta. Your presence here is meaningful. It's an encouragement. It's appreciated by the family. Thank you for coming. We want to begin with singing one congregational song led by Carlson. Following that, Dan Yoder, a longtime pastor here and friend of the family, will give a meditation. Let's sing in Carlson.
Let's sing number 986.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In all mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a blessed place. When we all get to heaven, what a day. When we all see Jesus.
Trust and be true and faithful, trust in serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will
come together today in the shadow of grief and pain, as we've been called by God to walk through this dark valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist calls it. There are many occasions that draw people together, but there are probably none that affect us as deeply as the loss of a loved one. And as we all know, this is the occasion for which we're together this afternoon, as we seek to walk with our dear brother and sister through this very painful experience of their precious little daughter coming into this world but never having the privilege of drawing her first breath. As I prayed and sought the will of the Lord and what to share in this opening meditation, the question that came to my mind was, what would Jesus say? What would He do? Ponder that for just a moment. If Jesus could walk up this aisle and put His arms around Duane and Loretta as He stands and looks in this little casket, their precious little daughter lying there so still in death, what would Jesus do? What would He do? You know what I think He would do? I think it would be very likely that He would do what He did when He came to the grave of His friend Lazarus, who had died, as you remember that story. And He saw Mary and Martha and so many other people weeping. What did Jesus do? The Bible tells us. He saw all those people weeping. It says He groaned in His spirit. And then in the shortest verse in the whole Bible, it says simply, Jesus wept. I believe He would weep with us this afternoon. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 tells us we should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so it seems right to me that we begin this meditation this afternoon, Duane and Loretta, by acknowledging the very deep pain that you're experiencing. And in the best way we can, we put our arms around you and we weep with you and your parents as well. You see, your pain and your loss is our pain and our loss. You see how many people are here and we all share this with you. Yes, we know it was your arms that will remain empty, painfully empty, when you were looking forward to holding and feeding and cradling a tiny baby. It's your baby cradle that is empty when you expected to have it filled by now. It was your baby seat that you took along to the hospital. pardon me, and it came back empty. For all these things and many more, we weep with you. We do not pretend that it doesn't hurt. I can't pretend that, and we don't want to. It hurts in a very deep level of our being. And to some extent, we need to allow it to hurt. We should allow our tears to come. We should allow ourselves to feel very deeply a pain like this. Because it's when we acknowledge our total dependence on God and His strength that He can then begin to mold us and shape us into the people that He wants us to be. And so it's from this position, from this place of total inability to go on in our own strength, that we turn to God for His grace and strength that we need to go on. For life does need to go on. You know, sometimes we feel like we'd like to just curl up and die ourselves, wouldn't we? Or just stay in bed all day and not face the realities of life as they come to us. But that's not really the way to live either. It's not the way to experience God's purpose as He calls us to walk through dark places like this. And so in our pain and in our grief, let's turn to God and let's turn to His word and draw new strength and new vision as we open our hearts to hear from God. One of the best places to go in times of deep grief and hurt is to turn to the Psalms. David was a man who experienced very deep pain. And through these painful experiences, he was drawn to God. And we're thankful many of the Psalms he wrote are recorded, preserved for us today. And we can find much encouragement and strength as we turn there. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Beginning in verse 1. Just listen how David reaches out to God. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death encompassed me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. And again he mentions death. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Just drop over to verse 16 and read a few more. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Or because he loves me, is what David is saying. And we may comment on a few of these just a bit here. But as I was saying, it's so important that we embrace the pain. We allow the tears to flow. We acknowledge how deeply it hurts when death takes a loved one, as we are experiencing here today. But then it is also important that we don't just stay there in that place of mourning and turn into a hopeless case of despair and turmoil. Because, you know, when we're in the middle of such a painful experience, it can feel as though we will never be happy again. On Thursday morning, when the girls who live in the same house where Dwayne's live came back from going to the hospital to see Dwayne and Loretta and little Aoife, it was obvious they'd had a very emotional experience, as my wife and I did earlier that morning. See, a number of the girls here live in the same house, in the other side of the house where Duane and Loretta live. So this little baby was naturally the subject of great anticipation for them as well. And they feel the loss very deeply. But when they came back from the hospital, they were obviously deeply impacted through that experience. And one of the girls made the remark that it feels as though no one should be happy or has the right to be happy today. You come from a hospital room like that, it just doesn't seem right that anybody would be smiling. And I thought that was a very accurate way of describing an experience like this, how it makes us feel. It feels like it's just not right to be happy when an anticipated little baby lies still and cold in death. And we could go even further and say we don't see how we can ever be happy again. That's how we can feel when we're in the middle of such a deep, dark valley. And it's okay to feel that way for a time, but then we need to consider where we're going from here and move on. And that's where we find help when we take in God's word into our hearts and allow his truth to speak to us, words like we just read here. And in the depth of our pain, we do cry out to God and we say, I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Death does not destroy that bond, that tie between our Heavenly Father and us. It can't. Death can do some things, but it can't take away the love of God or stop his work in our lives. And David just has so many words there of calling upon the Lord and crying out to God, and he heard my voice. And he mentions enemies a few times. Yes, death is an enemy. We know that. We have tears because of death. We weep with those who weep. Death is an enemy that still stalks the land and takes our loved ones from us. We all have experienced that in one way or another. But how we praise the Lord that death is not the end of the story. It isn't. It's one step, but it's not the end. You may have heard of a famous poem called Death Be Not Proud. Have you heard of that? It's written by a man named John Donne, who was Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London in the early 1600s. It was a time when the bubonic plague was sweeping through the land and thousands of people were dying. And as a pastor, he helped to bury hundreds of people who died in that plague. And then his young wife died at the age of 33, having just given birth to their 12th child. The child died and the mother died. There was John. 11, I think maybe one of the other children wasn't living either, but so he had maybe 10 young children. He was a man all too familiar with death, but he was determined that death would not have the last word. And here's, so he wrote that poem, he wrote many poems, but I'll just quote a few lines of that poem, because I felt it's very applicable to us here. It says, Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. And I like his closing words, Death, thou shalt die. He was saying, Death, you can't do everything. Your end is coming. And so we're very thankful that death has been conquered by him who entered into death and rose again, never more to die. And one day, that victory will be ours as well. I'm just going to read a few verses from the end of the book. You know how you turn to the last chapter of the book to see how things will turn out? We're going to do that. Just a few verses from Revelation 21. This is how, what we're looking forward to and how it will end, so to speak. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now here's the summary. What a wonderful promise. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. That's the promise. Death, you're going to die. You're going to end. You will not have the last word. The day is coming when there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." We praise the Lord. That is why we can smile in the midst of tremendous pain and heartache, because we know that death will not have the final word. We will be joined together in that wonderful place when we can meet the Lord and all those who love him. Thank you again for coming, for your attention. I'll turn the time back to Brother Anthony.
Duane and Loretta have requested that a song be sung by a very special group of people, the children from Dunmore East Christian Fellowship. So we will have that now. Following that, Wendell Hostetler, former lead pastor here and currently living in Abbeville, South Carolina, will have a message, and he will close with prayer. And then after the prayer, Duane will come and share a tribute from Daddy. So children, come forward, and maybe you could stand sort of on this side over here, and Kenny will be leading you this song.
Greetings, each one, and may God bless you each for being here. Psalms 116:15, a verse we hear many times at funerals. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How can this be so precious, to have little baby Epha, Hope, lying here, and soon to be lowered in the grave? How do we see that being so precious? The reason, dear brothers and sisters, this is a precious sight in the sight of the Lord is because that another child of God has entered the glories of heaven and arrived safely. That's why it's precious. Aoife had a beautiful home on this earth that we were all excited about. She was going to be entering the home of Duane and Loretta. We were all excited about that, but her father in heaven took her home to be with him. As I stood in the little nursery that Duane and Loretta had all prepared, I stood in there yesterday, I think it was, and I looked around. It doesn't make any sense. It's hard to grasp. We don't understand. And that's okay. Some of you have seen the little room. Some of you haven't. The little room was very well prepared. Fresh paint was on the walls to welcome either a boy or a girl. Duane and Loretta did not know what they were having. There was a little white crib set in the corner of the room with a small little sheepskin ready for the baby to lay in. Little teddies were in the crib along with a blanket. Everything was ready. A rocking chair sat beside the crib ready to comfort the baby. Little outfits of clothing hung on the wall, ready for the little boy or girl. A little book entitled, "Guess How Much I Love You," was there on a shelf. The little white dress that Loretta had made recently is now being worn by little Aoife. I saw on the shelf little set of shoes that Duane and Loretta brought to different ones of us in a little gift bag a number of months ago in their excitement of telling us they were expecting a little child. The changing table was ready. The nappies were there, the powder, the lotion. It's all ready. But little Aoife Hope will not need this room. Duane and Loretta, you have done a beautiful job of preparing and getting ready this little room. But our Heavenly Father has a place prepared that far exceeded this little room that you had ready. John 14, 2 and 3 goes like this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And our little Aoife Hope has gone on ahead of us that are here today. Duane and Loretta had a name picked out for this little girl. And when they found out that they would not have the privilege of seeing her run and play, they decided to keep the first name, Aoife, but change her second name to Hope. And I just want to spend a little time on that word, Hope. I was very blessed when I heard that. Why would they change her name to Hope, her middle name? Here's why. It's because, as Dan said, it's because of Christ. It's because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus and of the resurrection. I looked up what hope means, and hope commonly is used as a wish. Something that we hear the term, I hope I get better. But in the Bible, hope is something much more of a confident expectation of what God has promised in his strength, what God has promised, and in that is where the strength of this hope lies. It's in the faithfulness of God's promises. We can hope and we can be assured that what God has said in his word will come to pass. There's two different kinds of hope, and I just want to read that to you here, found in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:7, it says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. There we see a hope, but we see it being taken away. The second hope, and here's what we're clinging to today, Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. So that is the hope that we are holding on to today. Lamentations 3:22-24 reads like this. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I want to read a number of verses from 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Just listen as I read this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. This is speaking of those that have gone on ahead of us. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And that is the hope that we are clinging to today, is this hope of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and of him coming back, and of those that have gone asleep in Christ and us meeting together. It's the hope that the Christian has. Hebrews 6:19 says this about hope. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Speaking of when Christ came, he is our Savior now. He is there for us. That anchor and that sure, steadfast hope. What a blessing. This hope here that is speaking about in Hebrews, I looked it up, and the literal meaning of this hope is, it says the hope that we have, is we hold it now. That is the way it described it. It's a hope that we can hold now. And Duane and Loretta, you're not able to hold little Aoife anymore, but you can hold hope. You can hold hope. The Apostle Paul shares his hope in the midst of his afflictions. And I'm just going to read a number of verses. If you care to, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read verses 7 to 18. And as I read, just listen to Paul as he describes some of his afflictions that he has been, we say, bombarded by, that he faced. Yet you hear this whole thing of hope, something that he had that kept him going. Second Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and this earthen vessel is speaking about your human body, my human body, this earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And talk about being perplexed. I've been perplexed in the recent days. Don't understand. We don't understand. Verse 9 speaks about being persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So you see Paul experiencing all of this, but yet, in the end, he was not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And I see that happening here today as little Aoife has gone on ahead of us. The pain is there, and death is there. But yet, hopefully, her little life is giving life to us, to those of us that are followers of Christ. We have life. Maybe there's some that don't, but we learn and we receive fresh hope and we cry out to God. That is what he's wanting to do in these situations. God wants to receive glory and honor, and that's what we want to do. We want to accept that. Verse 13, and since we have the spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we have sickness, we have struggles, and we perish. But yet the inward man is revived, and we can go on. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God bless the reading of his word. Sometimes we spend so much time on the earthly, the temporary, and we get confused. We have to look beyond that at the things that are eternal, things that are not seen, and that is where faith comes into play. Let's go back to the little room that was well prepared that I described to you that was waiting for Aoife. We have to look beyond that now. It's still there. You're still going to have to deal with it, and that's okay. But we have to look beyond that. That's what this last verse that I shared, we have to look at the eternal. We look beyond that, and we look at the mansion that she is occupying now, and we set our minds on that. And now, for each of us here today, and for myself, our Father in heaven has a room prepared for you, for myself. He has not called me home yet. He has not called you home. But someday, God calls us home in whatever way, whatever time. Doesn't matter the age, old, young, wherever we're at. Where will home be for me? Where will be home for you? Are you a child of the Heavenly Father? And if you are, we have that hope that we will spend eternity in heaven, glorifying and praising the Lord. If we're not a child of the Heavenly Father, then eternity outside of the presence of God is what Scripture says will happen. Matthew 25, 31 to 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me. And then later on in the chapter, in that chapter, it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And those are not my words. Those are the words from the Scriptures. And we take that. Each of us has to take that personally and look at where we are at in light of these verses. Am I holding hope? Are you holding hope? Or is it just a wish or a whim? To Dwayne and Loretta, and to both sets of grandparents that are here today, Maybe there's family listening in. Our hearts cry with your hearts, but we leave holding on to hope. That is what we have. When Dwayne rang me, I was in the States here earlier this week, and he rang me, I think it was on Wednesday morning, and shared with me what took place. I seen it was a call from Dwayne, and I thought about right away, it's probably going to be some news about a baby, and it was. But I soon could hear in his voice that it was not the news like that we want to hear. And immediately, my mind, as I wept over the phone with him and as we prayed, my mind went to the song that I have sung many, many times. And I just want to read the verses. I'll just read these verses here today. The title is called God's Way is Best. And as I was struggling with this whole reason, I was perplexed. This song came to my mind. God's way is best. And the verses go like this. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray and wander far away in darkness, nor reach that land of endless day. And then the third verse, it says, He leadeth true, I will not question. Though through the valley I shall go, though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe. And then the last verse, Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. Then the chorus goes like this, God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Where'er he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. We don't understand God's ways, but God's ways are best, and we rest in that. May we all stand for a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was willing to come and to pay the price and to die. And we thank you for the resurrection, God. And we cling to that hope. We pray that each one of us in this short little life of Ephah would look at our own lives and would see where we are at and the hope that we have, each one of us, God. Draw our hearts to you. I pray that you would be near the family. Give them strength and courage, God. We commit Loretta, Dwayne to you. Just bless them and help us to rally around them. Thank you for each one that is here, and we pray that through this, you could be glorified. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Y'all can bear with me as we try to get through this here. This is a tribute to Ephah Hope from Daddy. We thank God for each moment we had with you. From the time that you were conceived, I longed to see your sweet little face. I dreamed of all the things I wanted to teach you and do with you. Your life here on earth was short, but it was not in vain. The number of lives you have impacted is incomprehensible. Your mommy and I love you so much and enjoyed talking about who you would look like and whose personality you would have. Aoife, there were many people excited to see you. Your aunties, your neighbors, your family and friends. You will always be our special daughter, our beautiful little angel. We look forward to the time when we can all be together again and rest in the arms of Jesus. Until then, fly high, little angel. And this is a tribute from your mommy. We dreamed and prayed for you before you were conceived. We waited and cried till those prayers were answered, and God gave us you, our little miracle baby. Every day of carrying you was a joy. Sure, there were the tired days and hungry nights, but it all seemed so little to give for the longed-for child that we knew was coming. Your daddy waited on us hand and foot to take the best care of us and to bring me toast and clementines in bed. We were so excited and could hardly wait to tell all our family and friends about you. There's a sweet little bun in the oven, ready to enjoy, July 2019, was the announcement that was sent to your grandparents, aunts, and uncles. We wondered if you were a boy or a girl, and talked of names for you, but decided to wait until the day you were born for the happy surprise. The weeks seemed to stretch into eternity as we waited to feel you moving inside my womb. There were just butterflies at first, but eventually you were somersaulting all the time. It seemed like, finally, at 23 weeks, your daddy was delighted to feel you for the first time. Feeling your little feet kicking brought more reality and so much happiness. You were in my thoughts and prayers constantly as our bodies grew and changed. I loved reading about your development week by week. When your cousin Spencer was born at the end of April, it seemed the countdown was really on. My empty arms longed to cuddle you. Your daddy joked that when you arrived, he was going to hold you all the time since I had been carrying you so long already. Your Irish aunties, the girls who live next to us, planned a surprise baby shower for you and me. So many friends came to show us love and bring gifts and books for you. We sat and read those books aloud to you and dreamed of the day we could show you the pictures and later teach you to read the words. Your daddy and I picked out nursery colors, and he painted the walls to make a lovely room for you. Dear friends gave us a handmade changing table, and we couldn't wait to change your nappies there. Other friends gifted us with clothes that I sorted and washed, all the while dreaming of dressing you. We found a little white cradle to buy for you, and your daddy set it on his side of our bed so he could rock you at night. We talked of the changes that you would bring to our lives, but we knew that adding you would only make our home happier. You made us a real family. Your auntie sent dresses for you, and Grammy sent a pattern so I could sew your little white dress. We couldn't wait to take you to meet all our family in America. They love you too, so very much. The last weeks before you were born seemed endless. We finished the nursery preparations and made the last shopping trips so everything would be ready when you finally came. We prayed that God would keep you healthy and bring you in his timing. We knew that it was only a matter of time till we would be three. You seemed anxious to meet us too, as you kicked my ribs and tried to stretch your space bigger. Our hearts were full of love for you. Finally, it seemed that the time was getting closer as the pain started coming. I spent your last night walking and bending and swaying as labor began. You were kicking even then, and I was so thankful to feel you. I prayed and waited while the hours passed. We rang the hospital, and they said to come on in and have a check to see if you were ready for arrival. Your daddy got the last bits together and carried them to the car. He drove us to the hospital around 4:45 that morning. Then we heard your heart beating as we listened to the monitor. The pains continued, and the thought of meeting you kept our spirits up. We rested, bathed, and walked. At 12:30, the midwife came to monitor you again, and she asked another midwife to come, since you seemed to be in a position that made it hard to find your heartbeat. We prayed as they checked all over. Then we moved to another room for an ultrasound. The doctor searched too, and gave us the sad, sad news that your heart had stopped. We were shocked beyond words, and your daddy nearly fainted when he heard what the doctor said. Our midwives cried with us as we talked of what to do next. Our hearts were broken, and it seemed like a terrible nightmare. That evening at 10 o'clock on the dot, we saw your beautiful face for the first time. Your head full of black hair made us smile. Your daddy got to cut the cord after you were born. Then they laid you on my chest, where I could snuggle you for the first time. It seemed like we should hear you crying and see you your eyes open. Your little body was perfectly formed. All 6 pounds of you were made into the most beautiful little girl that we had ever seen. We named you Aoife Hope, the special name that your daddy and I picked for you. We wanted to give you an Irish name, and Aoife means beautiful, which we knew you would be. You are now our reminder of hope that we can find through Jesus. Aoife, we have hope that we will meet you again in heaven. After your soul went to be with Jesus, we still cherished your little body and held you close these last few days. We cried as we talked about the black hair we would never get to comb, the eyes whose color we will never know here on earth, the feet that we will never teach to walk. We find comfort knowing that Jesus is holding you in his own arms. You will always be with him, never knowing earthly pain and heartaches as you dance those streets of gold and enjoy the lovely sights of heaven. Our hearts will always be incomplete without you, but we know you're waiting for us to join you. Aoife Hope, your daddy and I love you, loved you before you were conceived, and we will always love you, our darling baby girl. My wife and I would like to express our thanks to each one here who has surrounded us with your love. Thanks for coming.
This time, the youth from the local church will sing two numbers in song. During the long hours of Wednesday afternoon, Loretta requested that some music would be played. And so Duane made the arrangements and put some music on, not knowing what they would hear as the first song. The first song that the youth will sing today is the first song that they heard that afternoon, and it has become more special to them. They'll sing two songs, and I would suggest that you come and stand on both sides of the platform and just wrap around the sides a bit. Come and share those songs at this time. Dave Stalshus will lead that group.
There's a land that is fair and endearing. Feel the gentle
Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The picture that is beside the casket is a gift from some loved ones back in the States. I feel it's very appropriate. The arms of Jesus, loving and welcoming. And in a sense, we're all children, and we all need those arms. We do, in a very real way. And I recognize that there'll be some empty arms. Loretta's arms, Duane's arms. Though the arms of Jesus are full. In congregation, we have a responsibility as the people of God to come alongside them today and in the days to come. Bless them, encourage them, pray for them. The Yoders will need our support, our blessing. Thank you, grandparents, for coming. It's such a privilege to have you here, so precious. In a few moments, there will be a viewing of Aoife's body, and the ushers will indicate to you when you may come for that here in the front. You may choose to not come forward for that if you wish. When the ushers tell your row to come, you may choose to exit and go out. That is fine. But if you do choose to come forward, come up the center aisle, past the casket, and out this way and exit the building. Make your way out as quickly as possible and go on over to the playground area or nearby there, or get in your cars to head for the burial if you plan to go, and wait there outside reverently. For those who are planning to go to the burial, it will be at the Little Angels plot in the Kilberry Cemetery. That is in the Ballybeg area of Waterford. And that will be at 3 o'clock. You can follow the blue van that's outside the building here. You can also find the cemetery on Google Maps. But as much as we can, we'll go together as a procession. There's plenty of parking there. Some of you may not have a lift. Ask and let's join together as much as we can. If you want to go, there should be a way for you. Following the burial, then, there will be a meal back here at the church at approximately 5 o'clock. And all of you, whether you decide to go to the burial or not, you're welcome to come for the meal that will be held at about 5 o'clock. We'll ring a bell there and then at that time, and we'll have prayer then. And this, then, would be a good opportunity for you to share, to visit, to fellowship, to encourage Duane and Loretta and their family. We would request that you would use that time for that, if you are here for that. After we have the benediction, which we will stand for, you will be seated again, and the grandfathers will come and prepare the casket, and then the ushers will tell you when you may come. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. You may sit down.